The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. Welcome to Gold Mines. That's right. You heard what I said. Gold Mines. I left out the comedy. Now, before I start the show, you may be asking yourself, Kevin, why? Why did you leave out the comedy? Well, because I felt like the show got big. It got so big that I felt like I was leaving out so many. So I now have made the decision to go to Gold Mines because now I'm tapping into the minds of all. That's right. Not just comedy. Not just comedic geniuses. Geniuses in general. People that I feel can give me and you nuggets. Hence, gold. Gold nuggets. How do I do it? How do I think of this shit? How do I do it? I notice what you're saying. You're listening to me right now, and you're now saying back, I don't know, Kevin. How do you do it? Well, that's what I'm asking you. How? Today, guys, we got a hell of a mind. We got a guy that I'm extremely envious of, and we'll get into the reasons why. But I'm not only a fan, I'm a friend. I'm a friend of this guy. But it takes a lot to stay relevant in the business where so many people fight for security. It takes a lot to understand and navigate in the space of entertainment and constantly recreate. This is somebody that I think they've done it at a very high level for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Jason Bateman on the show today. Holy shit. Hey, Jason.
Are you holding for applause? Are you going to put in some applause later? Put in some applause later, please. Let's leave a gap for it.
People are clapping in the cars, Jason.
I think it's a small collapse because I'm a silver mine. Okay. I don't think I'm a gold mine, maybe even bronze today. All right. I get into silver just after lunch. We're at 10:36. So it's still pretty bronze. So I want everyone to manage their expectations. Okay. And does your audience understand that you are starting with comedy there, right? You got the pun going with gold mines
with a D
instead of gold mines. Yes. I don't think they get what levels you're working on.
No, there's a level of genius that is really flying underneath the radar. It's stealth. It's stealth, but they're starting to get it. They're starting to get it. This is, and you know what's funny? This is more for me. This podcast isn't for my listeners as much as it is for me. Like, you know, I get to have in-depth conversations with people that I really am interested in, right? Like people that I haven't talked to in this manner. I get to do it on here and be authentic, be true, and get real answers and a level of transparency from the people that I'm talking to that they may not give to anyone else. Cause it's me. I pull out a different thing, man.
We try to do the same thing on SmartList. It's such a privilege, a gift to be able to talk to, you know, your heroes. I mean, you strike me as somebody who is not jaded by this business. You're fully appreciative of where you are, and it's not lost on you that you get to talk to people that you are a fan of. Mm-hmm. You know, like if we ever lost that, we'd be missing out on this great privilege that we get to talk to our heroes. Like you're trapped in an elevator with them, you know, and it's like you're immediately at like a peer level, and you can just start asking them questions, and they're gonna talk to you like a friend as opposed to a fan. You know, there's that, and you can get like maybe a table at a restaurant that's really popular. Those are like the two greatest things, I think, about being pseudo famous is that you can talk to your heroes on a peer level and you can get a table.
You know, you said, you mentioned Smartless, which is your pod. And
which you helped us out on. Thank you so, so much. Your audience will see that, and I think in a few months, but you did us a huge favor on that.
By the way, such a dope show with such a great group of guys. Yeah. I'm curious before I get into you, because, you know, I only want to segue to that because you mentioned it, and it's a crazy successful podcast. But how did that thing happen? Like, what was it, just random, or was it the conversation of, okay, this is what I want to do next? How did you fall into that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it after 40 some years, I wish I'd learned this lesson early on, which is, you know, there's a space for strategy in this business, but you got a right size strategy, because really the good stuff, the most successful stuff I found in my life just comes from not pushing and just letting stuff happen. And that's kind of how this podcast happened, where Will Arnett and Sean Hayes and I, or three of us are very, very close. We were just trying to stay in contact during COVID by having a Zoom chat, you know, like this every once in a while. And, Will was talking loosely about doing a podcast by himself. And then I kind of joked that, well, hang on a sec. I want some of that Dax Shepard money. I want to do a podcast too. Let's do it together. He's like, no, screw you. It's all mine. I said, no, I'm in. And then I saw Sean at some dinner the night afterwards, and I decided to get him jealous and tease him with, you know, me and Will, we're going to go get loaded, you know, up with money on some new podcast, and you can't come. He said, no, I'm in. And I texted Will. I said, you know, heads up, you're going to get a call from Sean. He wants in too. We're all coming. But then Sean, you know, being the adult of the three of us, he actually put his people on it and figured out kind of, you know, what a light lift it would be for us to just kind of stay in contact, and that maybe there was a way to maybe make a little bit of hay and some smiles during COVID. And it's just a Zoom away once a week. And so we did it, and we're really shocked still to this day. It's a couple of years now that people just listen to our garbage. You know, I mean, we're just talking. I mean, like you and me.
I mean, the fan base grew. What are you talking about? It's you guys fucking, like, I remember when the conversation started to like change for you guys when it became real. Like, you know, it goes without saying, my ears and eyes are always on what's happening in the space of business, and who is it happening for and why, right? Because I'm trying to manage this engine and this operation where I'm connected to so many different things. Yeah. And when you find like the thread of like, okay, what's working and why, what I found within you guys, it was the synergy of real friendship and putting that real friendship on display and allowing other people to simply be a fly on a wall to your randomness, and yeah, that randomness is what people like. It's what they gravitated towards. And of course, the show has grown into so much more. I mean, after COVID, you guys went and ventured out into the space of live fucking shows, like doing it live for an audience, and your fan base started buying tickets. By the way, I was a little pissed because that's cutting into my revenue as a live performer.
Did you sell out a bunch of nights? I mean, dude, you're a king. we were just playing a couple of theaters.
I said it's intimate. This is intimate. This is cute.
This is cute. A couple thousand people.
It's cute. This is nice.
You're an arena man at worst, and a stadium man more realistically, right? I mean, I don't know. We're just all traveling in your wake, Kevin.
We are all figuring it out. And by the way, I think that's the fun part. Moving away from your success in your podcast. By the way, if you do not know what it is, I mean, guys, educate yourself on it. Two and a half years in, right, Jace?
I think it's two and a half years in.
Yeah. 2.5 years in, amazing group of guys, great conversations. Like you said, I did one for them, had a blast. You guys will enjoy it as well. But let's talk about Jason, man. Let's talk about Jason Bateman, right? Jason, what kind of celebrity do you see yourself as? Like at the top of the show, you joked and you're like, yeah, man, I'm silver or mediocre at best. Are you a guy that gets the attention when you go out? Do you feel like you're under the radar? Do you feel like you've kind of navigated this thing in the space to where you're comfortable or uncomfortable? As a star, where are you at? Where do you see yourself?
Really great question. I ask
good questions on here, Jason.
You really do. You should have a podcast or a radio show or some sort of ability to communicate with people. I'd love to hear your answer to this when I'm done too, by the way. I find myself in a very, very lucky place, which is I can still go to the market. I can still go to the movie theater. And yes, I will get stopped, you know, multiple times a day, but it's just because they recognize me as, you know, an actor that they recognize, you know, as opposed to a celebrity. And the difference there is that when you see a celebrity on the street, you've got to take a picture of that celebrity for your Facebook page or whatever, mm-hmm. or to send to somebody, look what I saw today. Like if a zebra escaped the zoo and was running down the boulevard, you'd have to get a picture of it, mm-hmm. because wait till I show people what I saw today that mm-hmm. crossed my path. So I have friends, as I'm sure you do too, and you may say that you feel like you're one of them, where, you know, they just can't go places because they can't hide. There's something sensational about them. I don't have that. I'm just sort of stopped and told, hey, I either like or don't like what you did or what I saw you did, as opposed to, oh my God, there's that person that everyone's talking about, you know? So, you know, now I can't green light a movie as quickly as one of the zebras can. But yeah, I could still go to the market maybe. So yeah. it's sort of a give and take, and I'm so happy. Feel so fortunate to have that place after these years. Because as you started talking about relevancy, that's the thing that's hard to maintain in a business that is success is not predicated on credentials how long you've been at it. It's really a pretty fickle thing, success and relevancy in this business. And so you can't really help yourself as often as you might want to. You've got to be lucky, and you got to be in favor with the public. And there's not a real clear metric as to how to maintain that.
What you do have, though, is you have the ability to fit in.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there's not a situation and or project that Jason Bateman cannot find a comfortable place in. And, you know, when I look at talent and when I like, you know, start to really break down talent, it's not just about the level of star that you can attach to a person. It's the comfort in knowing that I'll be okay in whatever environment I'm placed in. And I remember when you did Identity Theft, right? With Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Dave Becky, of course, who you know, yeah. who you share.
Yeah, love Dave.
And me and Dave were talking about you, and I said, man, I said, it's so dope because Jason Bateman, whether leading man, whether co-star, whether the third, I said, Jason Bateman never not scores. You fucking score. Like you score, and from the straight man to the punchline to the fucking story, it's like you just score. And I remember after seeing you in that movie, man, I was like, I feel like people may not really be aware of how fucking good Bateman is. And then like after Ozark comes, right? And while watching Ozark, I was like, I knew he could do whatever the fuck he wanted. Like this guy, this serious change, like this thing from comedy, like this thing, it's what motivated me to do True Story.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to tell you. It was your step into Ozark and your moment of giving your fan base like a transition of like, okay guys, I'm doing this and I'm writing it, I'm gonna direct it, like this is just kind of what I want to do, like I'm at this point in my career, like it's I like doing shit like this, like I like doing what I want to do, and this is a good thing that I want to do. You fucking destroyed this role to the point where I was like, the fanfare attached to you has to go up. It's one of the, you're now in like, I feel series history. I feel like Ozark put you in series Hall of Fame.
Well, you're very, very nice to say all that. I mean,
you don't
believe
that? You don't think Ozark is going down as one of the best shows of like the last 10 years?
I mean, look, for me, it was, just as far as my taste goes, I just couldn't be happier with the ability for all of those incredible people to come together and drill this tiny little target that I was hoping we would hit. And as you know, it does take a team. I mean, this isn't painting. It's not tennis or golf where it's some individual thing. It's football. Like you can't win if you just got a quarterback. You need an O-line and a D-line. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. So, the fact that we were able to hit this little target that I was hoping for with these great scripts, I'm super proud of. And then, you know, it's up to the opinions of folks smarter than me and a larger group than me to decide, you know, where it sits. But, I'm really happy with what we did and that we got out of there before we screwed it up too bad.
But the volume of want changed though. Like, you know, now, I mean, you're an award-winning, you know, actor, or you're attached to an award-winning series, outstanding this, nominated for this. So now the want for a Bateman project or a Bateman directed, etc. Like that changes now.
Yeah.
The volume and demand, of course, has like grown. So how are you now handling that?
Again, another question I'd love to hear you answer. It's, you know, what I'm sure you're dealing with as well is you look at opportunity and you consider how does that fit into where I'd like to see myself in a year or 5 years. And then also what I think I can handle, what I hope I can handle and the risk of overshooting or under trying, those are equal risks. And so you try to find that project that, you know, takes you to the limits of what you think you can handle based on what you hope you've learned from the last project and the series of projects before that. Because I think in anybody's career, whoever's listening, whatever career they're in, whatever occupation they're in, you're always hoping that you get the job, the promotion, that takes advantage of what you've been absorbing and learning. Because if you stick in the same job, the same level of responsibility for years and years and years, you can get a little stale and you can get a little antsy and you start misbehaving either at work or away from work, mentally or physically or whatever it is. You want to keep growing and keep challenging yourself in this life. I hope that you'll use your years correctly. And for me, directing is that, you know, all these years of sitting on a set as an actor, watching all these incredible people create, you know, fake life, you know, it's a sneaky tough thing to do, you know, make it all believable. I mean, 99% of the work goes into just trying to make it look like it's real. And then 1% of it is trying to spike it just a little bit. So, these crew members, are just incredible technicians and pardon the term artists that I got really, really excited about, maybe trying to get the privilege of leading. Many, many years ago. And with that comes a lot of responsibility and a lot of homework. And so for me, it's getting an opportunity to do more directing. Acting I still love to do, but a long time ago, I sort of stopped getting super excited about morphing into really, really odd characters, characters that are really far from who I am, you know, the guy with the limp or the accent or whatever that is. That's kind of how I started when I was 10 or 11. That was my dream. But now my taste in acting, or what I like to watch as a viewer with acting, is watching how little an actor can do. Because if I see too much acting going on, now I'm watching acting. So my personal style with acting is just trying to just disappear and just be the audience, just be us, just be normal. Just react to the crazy shit that's going on around us. And that's probably why I like directing too, because it's sort of more like a portal.
Well, real quick, before we go on, man, let me pay some bills. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Guys, we got more Gold Mines when we come back.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
We're back.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm hearing like this amazing, just, I can hear growth, right? And you said, Kevin, I would love to hear your answer. In the same question. So what I did it backwards, because everything came to me fast. Yeah. So the demand of me happened so fast, and I took the volume, right? I wanted the volume. I'm going to churn. And right. I got lucky in taking the volume, and these things worked, you know. I haven't had nothing that hasn't worked. It's all fucking worked, right? Yeah. Like from the side of box office success to personal success and experiential, and it's all worked. And now after taking the volume, I'm at the place now where, okay, now you want the volume to be turned down a little bit, but I want the premium to be turned up. But mm-hmm. what I now have because of the success in the volume is the control. So the green light ability is what's attractive. The ability to say, well, I want to do this, and everybody jumps on the train because you've been a great partner, a great business return, positive side of revenue, etc. Everything checks out to know, follow the lead of. When you have that, there's nothing more valuable. You now are, you got that, right? And the reason why I asked you the question is because now the energy behind a Jason Bateman directed project is one of, no, he fucking knows what he's doing. Get out his way, right? Like everybody's like, no, get out his way. He'll write it. He'll do it all. Like, but the pressure that comes with that is a different pressure, because you really are taking it all on, right? Like I was able to manage it and do it differently, and I figured it out backwards, but I got to the end result of good, of understanding team personnel, attaching it. So I got this great team around me. For you, and now wanting to churn, it's like I asked you the question because I feel like the Jason Bateman now, the, like, you got an opportunity for another fucking stamp. Like, when I think about identity theft, when I think about the change up, when I think about fucking horrible bosses, like, I can go down, I know your shit. I'm a fan of your shit. Like, I know what you've done. I know what you've come from. I know how long you've been around in the business. I know how excited we were doing Central Intelligence when we got you for the cameo, and the
so credibility. What a fun day of work that was. Yeah.
I mean, like, but I know, like, the credibility and the like the strong stance that these massive fucking projects have gotten you. But now in the space of control, developing, writing, directing, well, now you're wearing different hats and the pressure changes. And my reason for asking you that is because it's like, now, okay, you got some new excitement in this, but at the same time, are you prepared for that level of like overwhelming pressure? And do you welcome that more than you welcome the world of the actor dealing with the pressure.
Yeah.
Which one is the better balance?
Well, I guess with both of them, I don't feel a ton of pressure only because I feel like what the ask is just to not suck. Don't be full of shit, you know, like with, like with, you know, I'm like, that's, I don't know about you. You strike me as somebody like me where that's what we're trying to do every day is not just suck. Not be full of shit and yeah. not suck and just be a good dude and be honest with what we're doing. And with acting, it's about not acting and just being real. So you look at the scene and what is the scene asking the character to do? And so just be believable being that. And with directing, it's kind of the same thing. It's what is the scene asking to show the audience? And then as a director, how do you shape that? You know, you're going to communicate what the scene's about with the camera. You're going to do it with the performances. You're going to do it with the lighting or the music down the road or whatever it is. And so all I'm trying to do is just execute my taste, which I hope and trust is in line with a large group of people that might see this. And then the only thing that's left is, do you know how to execute that? Because mm-hmm. a lot of people have taste, but they don't know how to do it. But when they see it, they can say, oh, that's great. So that's taste. Know-how is a different thing. And I've spent a lot of time observing know-how and asking the right questions, I hope, and practicing a little bit. And I feel like I've been scaling up at a responsible level to where what I'm asking for now is something that I can deliver. I hope, you know.
Are the numbers intimidating now? Because now you're in the world of budget. You're in the world of project from being smaller yeah. to now and immediate to now bigger. So now, from my understanding, like you just got your fucking, you just signed on to do like a big budget project. You got a studio yeah. film. Like this is the real deal. Like is the butt starting to like pucker a little bit now, or is it still like?
Well, I mean, as you know, sometimes the main difference between a $10 million movie and a $60 million movie is we just can't afford to have Kevin Hart in a $10 million movie. So a lot of it is just sometimes just salary or of a couple of big stars, or you have many more days mm-hmm. to shoot the 110-page script. So we only have to do 3 pages a day instead of 7 pages a day, which means you can just move just a little bit slower. So yeah. it doesn't really change much except, stuff that you don't see or feel.
My butt puckered a little bit, Jason. I'm not gonna lie. It took the jump. Shifting from the business, just for a quick second, man, you know, we're talking about getting busier. We're talking about a bigger demand of time. How are you balancing that between family, right? You're a married guy, family, you know, yeah. are you a guy that's extremely conscious of how long you can be away and the times in what and when you're away, or are you figuring that out as you go?
Yeah, and that's another great question. And
yeah, Jason, because I'm a fucking good interviewer, man. Jesus, it's accepted already. God damn it.
Fucking Sean Hayes got nominated for best interviewer. Yeah, and there's three of us there. He got the single one. I'm like, oh, why? Because you asked such great goddamn questions. You should be nominated for that. So to be honest, I could probably be better at that only because I don't think you can ever be good enough at that, which is finding the correct balance. Because the truth is that's constantly changing because your family is constantly changing. Absolutely. You know, the needs of your spouse, of your children, they're growing every single day. So they're changing every day, and the helpful role that you can play in their life and theirs and yours evolves every day. And you got to stay conscious of that. So, I've got two girls, 16 and 11, a wife I love very much. I've been married to for 20 plus years. And so I've got to be aware of, you know, if I'm in their face too much or ask them to come with me on location, that might not be great for them. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be disruptive to their life. Mm-hmm. What might be best is if I don't come home or if I don't call. Sometimes it's better if I do come home or do call a bunch. You just got to stay aware of it. And what complicates that even more for me is that I grew up in a house. My mom was a flight attendant for Pan Am for 30 plus years. So the whole time I was growing up, my mom was gone for 2 months of every month, 2 weeks of every month. And my dad was often on location, writing, directing, producing. So my sister and I grew up kind of with our own house key and kind of had to wake up ourselves and make our own breakfast or lunch or dinner. And so that's a normal pattern to me. And I am happy with the way I grew up. So I have to be careful to not misinterpret what was normal for me as what might not be helpful to my kids, or maybe it is, maybe they're comfortable with it. So I just always have to keep an eye on if they're as good with it as I was. And not get lazy with, well, stop complaining. I grew up, you know, with the mom that wasn't there 2 weeks of every month, you know, and it's just, it's something I always got to keep an eye on, the long-winded answer to your question.
I just had a doozy of a conversation with my, my daughter. My daughter's 17.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those being aware and alert. And I don't know if you are here, but the teenage daughter will kick your ass at some point.
Oh yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
It will present the moment of like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
And we had our little moment, and I had to tell her, I said, listen, I understand, you know, how hard it can be with having me as your father. Right. Yep. Like, I understand what that shadow thing can be, or maybe not be. I just want to know, I want you to know that I'm aware of it, but I want you to also know, I was like, I can't change it. I was like, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is what you were born into, and this is what our lives are. And I was like, you can either embrace, accept, and you know, find amazing solutions within opportunities that you don't have to have, that you now do because of this, or you can look at the moments that you get frustrated by and hold on to those. I said, but what I'm going to do is be aware of all aspects from your POV of how things can be or how they can feel, and try my best to, you know, fulfill the needs of when and where I can. I said, but you have to help me in understanding that there's some things that are just out of my control.
Right.
You know, and we're living in a time that's dominated, of course, by anxiety, or, you know, like, people's minds today are operating differently because it's so many sparks. Things are sparking so many different thoughts, and social media is driving that, especially for these younger kids. So the conversation of, or what people think, or what matters, it's like, it's so much. But to your point, we, because of what we grew up in or where we've come from, we have an ability to look at things with such a grounded version of reality. And that assumption attached to that is one of like, nah, it's okay. And we can't do that. We have to be aware much more than what we may have thought or shown in the early stages of parenting. But I think I've gotten better as time has went on. But it's to your point of just of being extremely conscious, and just knowing that like we can always improve.
There's this parallel version of Kevin Hart or Jason Bateman or anybody else that's in the public eye, that our families are fortunately or unfortunately a part of and share with the public, and that is sort of a that's the big, right? That's the big that we're all a part of and can be confusing and unfair to them, our family or us. But it's the reality, and it's not accurate, and we're all in it together, and it can be uncomfortable. But what I try to make sure my kids understand is that while we might share the big with the public, we'll always have the small that they don't know and that they don't, that they aren't a part of. And I'm always going to be here for you in that small. And that's the part that we have that they can't touch. And it's the real, and it's something that is accurate, and it's not some sort of narrative that some sensationalized headline can write for clickbait or whatever the hell it is, or I got you and you got me, and I know you and you know me, and that's never going to change. And so we've got something that they can't touch or ever see or ever hear. And that's a strength that they deserve to have and know. And it powers through everything. The small beats the big every single day.
You also, of course, grew up with, a nice surrounding cast of talent, right? Like, I mean, you've been in the business for a long time. You know, we don't have to get into how old you are, but we can just take an assumption here.
54 as of last month.
I wasn't going to say it, you know, Jason. It's fine. Okay, it's not a problem at all. But you know, these things are. This is good.
I don't play a day over 32, though. It's a real problem.
You've been 36 for the last 20 years in your roles. Okay. With that being said, this guy. He's controlling projects, okay? The friends of old that are in the business. Are you getting pitches? Are people coming to you with, Jason, I want to meet with you. Jace, I got a thing, man. This could be big. Jason, I need to talk. Like, how are you also controlling the world of no's from those that are close to you in the business? This is something else that I had to learn and that I had to get to, right? Like I had to really get to a place and point where I had to be good with going, hey man, no.
Yeah.
I know. No, man. I cannot do that. It's off brand. It's not aligned with the things that I have going. I cannot divert and do these things. I cannot make myself this available. I cannot.
Just because we're friends.
How are you handling that?
Yeah. And well, it starts with, as I'm sure it is with you, it's your first instinct is to put yourself in their position, which is you'd probably do the same thing they were doing because we're boys. We're tight. I mean, what, I can't bring you this idea that I've been working on? I mean, you know, Kevin, come on, like, just hear me out. And of course you're going to listen, but then it's only fair that they listen too. You know, you're allowed to ask, but I need to be allowed to say no. And if it honestly is not a fit, either creatively or strategically or for any other reason, it then becomes your responsibility to articulate that in a way that they can understand it. And if they can't, then the other probably legitimate thing is you're just not available. There's just not time to do it because the truth of the matter is that we're also in a fortunate time where there's a bunch of stuff lined up and I can't do two things at once unless you're asking me to just, you know, maybe do be a real passive producer on it, you know, but no, maybe they don't
want
that.
No, that's not good enough, man. I need you behind the lens on this one.
It's
I need you, buddy. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's, you know, listen, these are high class problems. Yeah.
Jason, you got to read this. Can you read this script tonight?
Exactly.
Can you read it tonight?
And you do. And and then you got it. I mean, listen, it's part of it. You know, it's like walking down the street. Well, is it a hassle to have to take a picture, sign an autograph? Maybe. But guess what, dude? Careful what you wish for. This is part of the job.
Absolutely.
And so carve out a little time, read the script, construct an email or a text that is sincere and is properly punctuated so that it doesn't look like you fired it off in 20 seconds. Like, this stuff matters. And if not for them, do it for you so that you stay the kind of you that you can be proud of.
Yes. Yes. I ask these questions and I know where you are. I know what's coming your way. I've been there. I still.
Oh, you're there. You're there times 10. I can't imagine the number of emails you got to write.
It's insane. But what I am, and I want to know if you are too, I am extremely relationship conscious. I prioritize and value all relationships from the biggest to the smallest. I make not one, none seem as if they are beneath, right? And I understand.
You've got an incredible reputation. You should know that. Your listeners should know that. There's no way. It's like you can't ever be present at your own funeral. Like, you can never really know what people are saying about you unless you're not you. And so I can tell you, I've never heard a bad word about you. And that's hard to do when somebody is as high profile as you.
I'm big on it, Jace. Like I'm talking like from the calls to the handshakes to the listening to the cast, to the crews. Like I'm just big on it. But it's also because, you know, I do have the POV from having nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a real thing. Like having nothing or knowing what it's like to have nothing.
And it never leaves your rearview mirror.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's always right there.
Right there. By the way, it can happen like
tomorrow.
Yes. It's very
easy. You better
easy.
Be knock wood like me.
Knock wood. I just knock some.
Yeah.
I just knock some. It's extremely, extremely easy.
Yeah.
I want to shift gears again, man. We talked about family.
You're very good at this, by the way. I swear to God, you really should look into a radio show or podcast. I mean, honestly, this is fun to just talk to you, but.
No, Jason, that's what this is. This is a.
Is that what that black foam thing is just below lens there? Is that a microphone?
That's a microphone. Jason, I'm doing
Kevin.
It. You thought we were just talking. No,
it's
Jason.
Just a good morning call.
No,
Jason,
that's
why
I said.
Doing.
I told you where you had. Remember I said where.
Gosh darn it.
I said wear the hat. I got my last question for you in such a great conversation. You know, I listened.
Is this it? Are we done? This has been a great rehearsal. Are we going to roll on the next one?
What do you mean roll on the next one?
Have we really been going?
We're approaching an hour of an interview. Like this was an interview.
Feels like 2 minutes, you angel. Just incredible. Would you ever fill in? If Will or Sean ever got sick, would you fill in?
Oh my God. Not only would there I fill in, I would, I did this little thing called steal the concept. You got a second? You got a minute to talk about it?
Yeah, you got me all day.
Your whole brand, what I did was I just called it Night in the Town, but it's just me and two of my friends that don't have the same level of celebrity as you got. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would fucking do that with you guys in a heartbeat. I love it. I love your energy.
I love that
you guys have the audience and following behind you, and it's only going to get bigger. You have a brand. And that brand is going to grow. I know the deal that you guys got, and I feel like it's the first of what will be many. And you're talking about preparing for that next stage. I mean, dude, we don't necessarily want the fast-paced world of the business as much as we once did, right? And I think as we're slowing down and you want that time home and you know, to be around what you've created and actually enjoy it, things like these hour slots and, you know, these once or two week pop-ins with a great umbrella over it, there's no way we can do this until we're 65, 70. Look at fucking Howard Stern. Howard Stern is 107. He's 107 years old and still doing it at the highest level.
He's such a good dude. How much do you love Howard Stern?
I mean, I love him.
Goddamn sweet, that guy.
Howard has been making $100 million a year on radio for 30 years.
Yep.
For 30 years. I mean, he's truly like... He's a stud. I'm so envious of just what he built, what he's done. And, you know, we're able to now get these opportunities because of the ceiling that he created. And they're now allowing us to go through, man. So for you, for your pod, for what you're doing, Jace, it's truly dope to see and watch. Directing, acting, writing, checking all the fucking boxes, man. Don't stop. I hope you got more left. And when the time presents itself, it will for you and I to do something together, man. And you know, I'm patiently waiting on that opportunity to come. I want to get some Bateman. I want to get some of this goddamn Bateman.
Nothing would be more fun. I always think about a little two-hander with you. That would be such a blast.
Showing up to fucking work with Bateman. I mean, dude, I can't express my level of a fan more than I already have, but you know it's genuine. It really is, man.
Well,
so,
back at you, Kevin.
This means the world. Thank you for coming on Gold Mines. By the way,
you kicked off
Gold Mines. It was Comedy Gold Mines. Okay, I tapped into the world of just comedy greats. You kicked off Gold Mines. You're the first nugget? The first nugget of just Gold Mines. And God damn it, you are an example of what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're in your cars right now and you haven't blinked in at least 2 minutes because you're mind blown. And that's what's supposed to happen. That's what's supposed to happen when you listen to Gold Mines. Because what you get here, you will not get anywhere. It's not just gems. It's not just information. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. You get motivated. You get inspired because you hear truth. You hear the truth behind the story and background of what one has done. We're not done, man. We're just getting started. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Bateman.
Thanks, bud. That was fun.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a Sirius XM and LOL Radio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. With Tastemakers Media, Emil Garner, and Ian McDonald.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.